This is the Venturing Angler Podcast. I'm Tim Harden. In this episode, we'll be chatting with Brian O'Keefe about fly fishing experiences through 11 angling. Let's chat with Brian. All right, we're here with Brian O'Keefe of 11 Angling. Brian, welcome to the Venturing Angler Podcast.
Oh, thank you very much, Tim.
So for those who aren't familiar, what is 11 Angling?
Well, it's part of 11 Experience, which has a fishing side and a ski and adventure travel side. So 11 Angling consists of several different destinations and motherships. We have just super cool lodges in Iceland, in Chile, New Zealand, Colorado, and then mothership fly fishing programs in the Louisiana Bayou and also the Everglades and Keys, and then another ship that's over on the southwest side of Andros in the remote flats out there. So we cover a lot of different areas, and we just like to make really fun, incredible, kind of adventure-oriented fly fishing trips for people.
That's great. So how long has the company been around?
Oh, about 6 or 7 years, but in the last three, they've been making more of a presence by attending some of the fly fishing shows, advertising in fly fishing magazines. We're just a little more visible. It started out as kind of a quiet outfitting company and then has grown and really at full maximum, you know, in the days before COVID, before we had to shut down most of our operations, you know, we probably had a couple hundred people on staff as guides, lodge managers, transportation, different things like that. So it's a pretty big company in the fly fishing world, and more people are becoming aware of us.
So yeah, they've got a pretty big operation when it comes to skiing and cycling and other activities, but also, you know, for our focus for fly fishing. Let's talk about some of these destinations. So maybe I'm mistaken on this, but I think one of their first destinations was in Colorado. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Taylor River Lodge in the Gunnison River Valley. And the head office for 11 Experience is in Crested Butte. So that would be fairly close to Crested Butte and all the different high mountain streams, the Gunnison, the Taylor River, that kind of thing.
Great. And so there's guided trips on all those places. Looks like there's a pretty nice lodge that's on the Taylor. Is that right?
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. You know, I don't know of too many other lodges that would be nicer. There's definitely the top five in the country, and it would be right in there. It's gorgeous. It's on the water. Has some private water access there and private stream access in other places. Plus just, you know, float trips on the Gunnison River are really fun. You know, right now, this time of the year, there's caddis, mayflies, stoneflies. It's just, and water levels are good. So, you know, it's really good just to do that. But also the walk and wade trips that are kind of little secret spots up in the mountains and small streams. There's a lot to do in that area. And it's just gorgeous with wildflowers this time of the year. So it's just a beautiful place to be.
One of the things that stands out is this emphasis that 11 has about their experience. What makes the 11 Experience the 11 Experience?
Yeah, that's a good question. It would probably be a variety of different answers to that based on who you are. But basically we're kind of a high-end operation without being snobby. So it's actually a company run by a lot of younger people, you know, from 20s to mid 40s. I'm the old guy. And, you know, these are active people. They're environmentally conscious people. They want to find places to fish and activities that go along with them that maybe are a little different than the average, you know, outfitter. Of course, we're going to provide incredible accommodations and world-class chef-prepared meals. And, oh, yeah, we've got some helicopters, you know, to get into some really cool spots. But it's more about just taking things to the next level, where our average guest would leave with their expectations exceeded. You know, I've been to a lot of lodges and a lot of outfitters. I've loved almost every trip I've gone on. But when I first started visiting our lodges in Iceland or Chile or Colorado or the motherships, there was just a little different touch, a little different way of doing things that were sort of surprising, things that would put a smile on your face. I've always said to people, when you go to one of our places, you'll want to take the pillow home. I don't know where you buy a pillow as good as an 11 pillow. So it's just a lot of little things. It's about customer service and predicting, you know, what people would like or expect. And then, like I said earlier, exceed their expectations.
Years ago, I took what will always be one of the most memorable trips of my life, which was a mothership based Everglades trip, which you guys ended up taking over. And to sleep and really live in the Everglades on the water for me, it was just 4 days, but it was something I will never, ever forget. And that mothership experience is, it's the best.
That's so correct, because even if it's our Marquesas tarpon trip or the Everglades trip or the redfish trip in Louisiana, there's something about being on that boat. And I tell people, like, generally, I mean, you know, the boat is anchored up in a strategically located place with good fishing and away from people. It's all the things that, you know, you check off that make a great trip. And I say, you know, and, you know, like any fishing trip, you might have some really kind of maybe some bad weather or something could happen, and you might just have a fair fishing trip. But because of the mothership, the guides, the food, it's a great fishing trip. So even if the fishing is, you know, mediocre at best because of weather, you'll still want to come back. You'll still, you know, rave about it to your buddies, because that mothership experience is just super fun. And I've been really fortunate. I've hit pretty good weather on both the Andros mothership and the Florida Louisiana mothership, and it's just a magical experience. It's really fun. I mean, it's comfortable, but it just seems to bring out the best in people. You hang out after fishing. It's just fun to be outside and hanging out. And then the food's world class, and just all the makings of just a great trip.
What have some of your favorite mothership experiences been?
Oh, well, I think one of my most favorite experiences was with my buddy Todd Moen of Catch Magazine. And he came with me to Andros to make a video with the slightly humorous title of Indiana Bones. And it started out with a paddleboard, the stand-up paddleboard. So leave the boat, paddleboard to some flats, and walk and wade. And, you know, the whole time Todd's droning, and we're catching fish, we're shooting underwater. We've got some shark footage on poppers, and there is some, you know, really neat photos from the drone of some small schools of bones or bones crossing flats. And we had really good weather. And Todd is a big time, you know, professional soccer fan. So the Portland Timbers were playing some really important playoff game or championship game. And he kind of mentioned it to the skipper and said, geez, I can't stand missing this game. He goes, well, no, watch this. And he grabbed a little remote. He pushed a button, and out of the back of the couch, a TV screen rolls up like James Bond or something. And there's this giant TV screen. He goes, yeah, I can plug into anything. I got every satellite on demand. So he brings up the game. And so Todd's sitting in the most remote part of the Bahamas, middle of nowhere. And this, you know, the mate or crew guy comes along and plops down a rum and coke. And Todd's watching Portland Timbers win a soccer game. And it was just that kind of trip. Everything just clicked and went well. We had great, beautiful white sand flat, wade fishing, and nice sized fish. So that was one of my favorite trips, just because everything went well, went perfect, no hitch. And then also, you know, I think everybody loves redfish. It's not the glamorous fish as tarpon, bones, permit and stuff, but it's right up there as a fun fish. It's a fun style of fishing. It's a little more social than, you know, high tech, intense tarpon or permit fishing. So it's a little, it has a little more Bubba factor in it where you kind of are, you have almost like a bass fishing mentality. If you blow it, it's not a big deal. One comes off, there's another one. And I just enjoy that kind of casual fishing, almost like walking a golf course with your buddies and talking and joking. And that's kind of the attitude on a flat skiff when you redfish fish. It's a good action. There's going to be another fish if you miss one. And at times two people can fish at the same time. So you're not locked down as another person is up on the bow. You know, you can get on the back and look for other fish, either sheep's head or black drum. And I just enjoy that. I just like that more casual, fun, joking around type of fishing style. That's just a blast to me.
That's great. These trips are very noticeably nice.
Yeah.
And so one of the things you mentioned before, we've covered motherships now, are helicopters. And it looks like there's more than one destination where there's heli fly fishing.
Yeah. Well, we bought Cedar Lodge on the South Island of New Zealand from Chris and Shauna Daughters, and they had it for several years, and it was a helicopter lodge when they bought it. And they did their thing, and then we bought it, and as a ski company, you know, helicopters are used in Iceland, Chile, and then there's skiing in France and Colorado and other places. So helicopters are kind of part of our MO. And so it made sense to, if Cedar Lodge was for sale, I mean, it kind of fits into our type of style. And consequently, you know, it's a daily fly out to some of the most beautiful rivers in the world. And that's if someone hasn't fished New Zealand, that's one of the best ways to do it. Just you see so much, you cover a lot of ground. It's just completely effective. And then in Chile, we use a helicopter because where we are on Rio Pelena, it's remote. And there's a few dirt roads here and there, but there's a lot of water. And most of the water is tough access. So we fly into several different parts of that area in Patagonia, streams, rivers, alpine lakes, that really never see another angler. And just because of weather and altitude and being the Andes, even though there's a helicopter sitting outside the lodge, it doesn't mean you get to fly in it every day. I mean, you have to be safe. You have to be able to get in and get out. And so some of these spots that we go to may only get two dozen fishermen a year. And that just keeps, you know, the place pristine. It keeps the fish, you know, under pressured, and you combine that with jet boats and rafts and drift boats, and you really cover all the bases and really can fish all over the place quickly and efficiently.
I know you're a dedicated angler. What is that like to have that type of access to a place like that?
Well, you know, I'm kind of a dirt bag fisherman, meaning like this weekend, I'm probably going to head over to the Henry's Fork, but I'm not staying at a lodge or fancy place or going with guides. I'm going to sleep in the back of my truck and I'm going to fish and make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So my resume is kind of impressive. I might just add, you know me, I mean, I've fished all over. I've been doing this for 40 years and I've combined my love of photography with fishing to, you know, get access to all these amazing spots. So it's a little weird for me sometimes to go to a place that, you know, you have the most amazing breakfast in your life and the lodge is so cool. When the guides come in and say, hey, it's time to go, you go, really? I mean, I have to leave right now? This is the nicest lodge in the world. And okay. And so, and then you jump in a amazing helicopter with a guide and a raft and you fly into some unknown secret spot with giant rainbows, browns and brook trout. It's, you just feel happy to be alive. You know, it's just like, wow, I lucked out. What if my life had been different and I got a job in a tall building and you know, instead of just following, you know, basically my heart, wanted to be a trout bum, and that segues into other things. So it's magical. I know that sounds kind of corny, and I'm not a real, you know, cliche guy, but yeah, it's just a great feeling to fly over some ridges, look down on water that doesn't get fished, and land on some tiny island and jump out, and, you know, just have incredible fishing. So hard to put into words. It's just more about appreciation, and maybe paying your dues pays off.
Yeah, that's great. I slept in a Subaru on the Henry's Fork for two nights last week, so I can't imagine awesome. The contrast with what you just described, but it's all great.
But I want to just add to that, even though, you know, we sort of have a reputation of being sort of a high-end operational, and our prices are very similar to lots of other international prices. So when you see, you know, Chile at, you know, $7,000 a week, that's in line with a lot of other places. And, you know, if you've fished or looked at websites that have Alaska, Argentina, I think all those prices are pretty much in line with us. I think we just have, a little bit of a style that's different, and helicopters are one part, and just trying to do the best trips possible. So we get a reputation as being maybe kind of over the top, but in reality, we're right in there with everybody else. And we just try to make these trips, you know, super extra special.
One of the things that seems to be emphasized in your materials is that the trips are custom tailored. What is meant by that?
Well, basically, you know, if you show up by yourself, with a friend, as a family, we can do things, you know, for instance, let's use Deplar Farm Lodge up in Iceland. So it's in northwest Iceland, middle of nowhere. But the family could go there, and the angler, and I lots of times I'll say fishermen, but I really mean fishing people, men and women. But any non-fly fishers can ride those Icelandic ponies. They can do these amazing hot springs and geyser trips, and there's ocean trips for bird watchings with puffin and all kinds of incredible bird life, lots of different things. And we can custom make that trip for a family or for a business group or something like that. But for an angler, we just don't believe in a set, you know, kind of boot camp deal, which is required in some places just because of logistics. And a lot of places I worked in Alaska, for instance, we really had to follow a schedule. And actually New Zealand does too, to a degree, because of the flying. And the plane's got to get in, they got to get back before dark, everybody has to get out, have the same time on the water. There's a little more organization involved. But we try to keep that, you know, kind of hidden in a way, and listen to what people want. You know, they might want to sleep in a little bit, having traveled 16 hours or something. Or they might want to come back a little early from a trip, say in New Zealand, and then take a Jeep down into town to go to, you know, do some wine tasting or something. So there's different things to do. We don't have a complete set program. A lot of people are easy because they just want to fish their brains out. And that's our easiest, best customer, because we're set up for that. We only really have a set schedule for that on some of the motherships, just because for safety and so the guides can get back to their life and stuff. So, but we try to keep it loose. We try to accommodate different interests, different ability levels, so that, you know, people are just comfortable and have what they want.
And do you find that a number of people will do both? People will take ski trips with 11 Experience and also fishing trips?
Yeah, if we do get people that do that. We have I don't know how else to describe it. Say a core group of really passionate clients that once they do an 11 Experience, say their first one's in Colorado, and they get on the website or they see some of our printed material, they're kind of hooked a little bit. So they might want to, let's say they're skiing in Colorado, they'll want to go skiing in France, and they want to maybe try the amazing heli skiing in Iceland. So we get them kind of hooked, and they become, you know, big fans. And I think that's true with fishing too. We have people who go to the same spot year after year. And just because of their guides and the service and their fishing they've had, they have expanded their horizons to have interest in New Zealand or Chile and that sort of thing. So it's just like any other business. You, if you do a good job, you'll have return customers.
Yeah. You know, just looking at some of the trips you guys have, like for example, the Andros trip, you know, you're on this mothership, it's comfortable, you have nice accommodations and food, nice food, and then you're departing each morning on a skiff or even just finding nearby flats to walk.
Yeah, the guides will pick people up after breakfast, and you said comfortable, but it's a little bit more than comfortable sometimes. I mean, it's just really, really comfortable, super fun, easy, and it's a trip you just hate to leave. You know, after your trip's up, you just don't want to go home. You're in the perfect place at the perfect time. And, you know, that Andros trip is, you know, those are some of the prettiest wade flats in the world. And there are occasional, there'll be another guide boat from the east side of Andros, but it's a long run over there through the bight or around the south side. So you hardly ever see anybody, and you just sort of feel like, wow, this is, if I'm going to do one bone fishing trip in my life, this is the way to go, because you don't see anybody. You have those white, white, beautiful flats where you can see bonefish at 100 yards. And then, you know, just say the wind comes up out of a certain direction that's not conducive to, you know, your casting style or working the fish properly. The guides will run inland up through a maze of channels and little lagoons. And even in the interior, a lot of those flats are wade flats. Now, they're not the white sand flats you have on the ocean side, but they're more in the mangroves. And you don't get that crystal clear water and beautiful white sand flats, but you get really productive, you know, almost jungle flats with even some of the biggest fish are in there. And it's really fun. A lot of tailing fish because the wind doesn't mess the water up and it's shallow. And, you know, I think I see more tailers back there than I do on the sand. So, you know, it's nice to have a plan B like that. And then there's a lot of cuda. You can always do some popper fishing for small sharks, small meaning about 4 feet, you know. The big ones just take up too much of your day. They're big, they're strong, they take a while, but you can get a 4-footer in 15 minutes. And then some snapper and jacks, and there's permit around, there's tarpon around, and you know, and you're on that boat and it's so quiet. And you know, we don't mix trips. Even before coronavirus, we didn't have, you know, 4 strangers show up. We make that 4-person group sort of contiguous, you know, a family group, a friend group. And so you're all buddies or family when you get there. And so that just sort of adds to the overall experience when people have a rewarding experience with friends and family. It's just another great trip. Because I think we've probably all been on a trip somewhere where there was that guy, the guy that at dinner would talk about AR-17s or whatever they are, AR-15s, and you know, just negative, weird, or real super political. And you just, you know, you're having so much fun. And then that guy walks in the room and you can just feel everybody go, oh God.
Yeah.
And so we just avoid that completely by making sure that our groups are, you know, self-contained. You know, everybody knows everybody, same family, same group of friends. So that's kind of neat. It just makes the trip more fun.
That actually sounds pretty nice. And as you said that, I thought back to about maybe 8 different people that made a mark on a trip and not for a good reason. So that's,
yeah.
there's one guy actually who was so over the top with what a jerk he was that he ended up becoming the entertainment. But I don't think that's a good thing. One of the things that I loved about my experience with what became your Everglades trip, was that I could, you know, have a drink at night and watch tarpon roll, and maybe see the same thing in the morning when I wake up. But it also is, you know, with that, you get the fact that, you're not, you know, meeting at a boat ramp. You're not having to launch and miss critical hours to get to the water. You might be staying there. remember one night we came in and someone said, "Hey, there's big cobia. Go back out." And just being back there in that backcountry, you're already there, and it makes the fishing day a better fishing day.
Yeah, you probably know, and a lot of your people know, that some of those boat ramps in Louisiana and the backcountry of Florida, they're not the real friendliest places in the world. And if you're the sixth or seventh or eighth boat in line, you know, there's some yelling and screaming, and there's some interesting people, but that can be a big time suck, you know, and it sort of starts your day off with a little bit of an edge. And like you said, when you're out there without having to deal with that, you know, hotel, taxis, or whatever the deal is, it's just a nice thing to not include in your itinerary. And, you know, speaking of the Everglades, you know, really, it's a magical place. And to spend the night out there in the middle of nowhere, and, you know, we're talking, there's alligators and there's sharks and there's rolling tarpon, and it's an adventure filled place. That's why it's world famous. But spending the night in the Everglades, you've got two options. One, basically our boat, or two, dying. I mean, there's just no way to spend the night out there. What if your boat motor conked out, by you're out by yourself? I mean, good luck. It's a tough place, but it's nice to hear the fish rolling, you know, manatees, seeing this amazing bird life, and all just being right on top of it. Yeah, it's fun.
That's great. Do you have, of all these offerings, do you have a favorite?
Not really. I think I like them all for different reasons. You know, anywhere you can fish for tarpon is fantastic. So the Everglades and the Marquesas is just mind-boggling. Different style of fishing, so that's fun. The Andros Flats are just so beautiful. It's just great to be there. And then I like the redfish style, the kind of the fun goofing off aspect. So I like them all for different reasons, but I like them all a lot.
Well, with all of these trips, being at lodges and aboard motherships and so forth, how are you all proceeding amidst the pandemic?
Yeah, I think we're similar to lots of other outfitter and lodge operations. We basically closed down, and it was a big deal. We're a pretty big machine, lots of moving parts, and there were furloughs and layoffs and things that everybody's experienced around the world. So we're no different. And, you know, travel, airlines, et cetera. So it's sort of a gut punch and another punch. And so as things change and evolve, we take it very seriously. So the safety of our clients and staff is number one. And we have established, really a state-of-the-art sanitizing protocol, social distancing. So we're encouraging smaller groups as we're opening up. And we're not just going to, you know, open up willy-nilly. We're going to take every place case by case and make sure it's perfectly all right. But when you're in the remote parts of Patagonia or in the middle of nowhere, New Zealand, or Northern Iceland, you do have the benefit of no crowds. And it's a little easier to manage a group of 4 to 6 anglers. On our motherships, we only do 4. And again, if we're talking about trying to keep those groups, you know, a tight group that all knows each other, family or friends, it's a little easier to work with that as opposed to just strangers coming in from all over the country. And you never know what people practice, whether they wear masks, don't wear masks, etc. So we're doing it in a slow, responsible way, very intense safety and sanitizing protocols. And we're opening up lodges that are okay to open up. We won't open up everywhere until it's just right, you know. So it's a big responsibility to, in a perfect world, to take people out fishing in jet boats and rafts and drift boats and helicopters. And it's a bigger responsibility when you do all that. And you have to, you know, ensure that everything in the lodge is clean and people aren't being irresponsible. So it's a new world, and we're slowly, getting back into it. The Colorado Lodge has opened up, and we're going to open up other lodges and motherships just as it's prudent and responsible.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. Where can folks learn more about 11 Angling?
Well, it's easy just to go to 11angling.com. You'll see the entire package of 11 Experience and 11 Angling, and seriously, some of the ski stuff and mountain biking is just really fun to look at from these great places. We're at almost all of the fly fishing shows. So Denver and Edison, Atlanta, Pleasanton, California, all those. We'll have a nice booth there. Please drop in and see us. And Instagram, we put up a lot of cool pictures on Instagram. And anybody has any questions, it's easy to get a hold of us, mainly through the website, and or hopefully stop in at one of the shows and see us in person.
Fantastic. Brian, thank you so much.
My pleasure. It was a lot of fun. I'll catch you later.
Take care.